Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Vice Virtuosa.
Narad.
VS.
Welcome to Modcast with me, Rob, R8XFT.
VS.
Narad the Forgiven.
Vice Virtuosa.
Right, so you may have noticed some new names there. People that have been on the cast as guests in the past. Thank you very much to Jan Baruta, Tipan Golin and Alpha Chard, all of whom have been working with Modcast for the last 3 years. And they've all decided now to stand down and let some new panellists come in. I wouldn't stand down. I wanted to stay. But we've got a whole new cast. So welcome, guys. So we thought we'd just introduce new cast members a little bit more. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, what I've been up to is figuring out Civ 6, and any of you who know me from Civ 5 know I did a few mods, but mostly what I did, I was kind of turned into the Civ 5 helpline guy on the Civ Fanatics forum. People would post, "This mod don't work," and I would help them figure out how to make that happen.
I'm much appreciated it was.
I didn't find out about this until far too late in my modding career. As of late, for those of you that don't know who I am at all, I was the co-founder and coder for Clonelandless Legacies and produced, a good 80% of their mods. I've been taking a break recently, and coming to Civ 6, it's kind of a whole new world that's been kind of off-putting for a little while, but I am looking at starting to get into Civ 6 modding.
Are you thinking of bringing some Colonial Legacies, possibly with T. Pangolin as well, into Civ 6?
I think that's the plan. Be more casual. More of a tribute or less of a flagship, if you will. Someone's going to get mad at me for saying flagship, I know.
Well, I've been in the Civ 5 modding scene since 2013, just before Brave New World dropped. I tend to make fictional mods that are based off of characters from various games, anime, and other things. I've been taking a bit of a hiatus this past year, playing other games, but Civ 6 has brought me back.
All of us have done some sort of modding in Civ 5, some quite extensive, really. When going for Civ 6 and you start doing the Civs, which we've all done, do you think when you approach those Civs that you'll approach them in the same way that you did with Civ 5? Is it just a step up from a straight conversion from Civ 5 to Civ 6? Are you going to start again with them and scrap the ideas you had before and just see where it takes you?
Well, I don't necessarily do Civs that much. I only did one in Civ 5. But what I'm working on now, I decided I was going to import into Civ 6 the building mod I did for Civ 5 where you can only build Building X in Era X. And I've been bending Civ 6 to my will, basically.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a case of I've already decided what I want to do, and I'm going to make Civ 6 do it. So I don't go and say, well, how does my old mod need to be reworked to fit into Civ 6? It's more, how does Civ 6 need to be reworked to fit my old mod?
I think for myself, just to run back to that as well, that's one of the things that's been a shock moving from Civ 5 to Civ 6, because where I was at in Civilization 5 modding was basically, I dream up an idea, I make the Lua do it, whether it likes it or not. And so I was kind of at the point where the constraints of the game were more or less meaningless. And to move into Civilization 6 right now, where that is certainly not the case yet, we haven't had the community development, and I'm even talking without using custom DLLs, we haven't had the community figuring out all the various different ways to make something work that isn't possible. That's been a real shock to suddenly realize that, you know what, you're not going to be able to do this, at least not till later. For me, that's one of the big changes, is having to actually come up with ideas that fit into the mold instead of break the mold right out of the gate.
Some modders may just have not been giving the game, or even giving themselves a proper chance to get acclimated to the modding environment of 6. And for someone like me who's kind of had a burnout on Civ 5 modding for a good year now, the new environment of Civ 6 is something I actually welcome, and the challenges associated with it are something I want to tackle. But for some people, they might prefer that familiarity to 5 because they've got things they still want to get done now.
Yeah, I understand that. And then also, there's almost a comfort blanket that you've got with Civ 5 because you know how to do things and you know that you want to finish things off. For me, Civ 5 this time was almost like, I need to finish that off, but I'm actually more interested in getting on with Civ 6. So there were some updates wanted for Anno Domini. It's still enjoyable to do, but it was in the back of my mind that I really wanted to crack on with Civ 6 and kind of almost leave that to run its course and let people play that one that wanted to play it.
Yeah, I actually have a Civ 5 mod that I haven't released yet. It's fully functions and works and all that, but I just haven't released it because I've been looking at doing Civ 6 modding.
For me, that's definitely a thing where I had the same kind of burnout, and then Civilization 6 comes out, and it's kind of intimidating how much work it is, but I think that's because you've gone from having, let's call them godlike powers in Civilization 5, to having to go back to laying foundations and erecting whatever building you possibly can on your little plot of land, being humbled. The shock, I think, is huge. Some of the modders have had a really hard time grasping and grappling with that.
What's it been like for modders not having the tools available until they were recently? So we're waiting without any specific modding tools, SDK. And then how have we found the SDK since that came out?
It wasn't so much the SDK itself, because, you know, you can make a mod and get Notepad++ or some black text. But it was more along the lines of the SDK brought with it the ability for us to add all the arguments to make a sim. Not the SDK itself, but the patch that came with it that enabled that functionality. The SDK itself is pretty similar to the 5.1. Don't have any really positive or negative things to say about it in comparison.
Well, one of the things that's really positive, I think, is not having that long list of things you've got to add right up front. I know you've got to put it in somewhere else, but it just seemed a lot harder before somehow for me. Tried to make the punt without using the SDK, and there were just bits, like you say, with the art in particular, where it didn't quite work properly. And working out how to use the tools properly certainly helped with that. And now I'm going for my second sieve, and things have been a lot easier. I think that's generally the way it'll go. I think things will get easier in terms of using that.
Well, for me, having the SDK to be able to spit out the finished mod has made things much easier for me to... Okay, I want to add a file, and I want to move code around a little bit, and I want to add an activation, click the build, boom, done. I find it easier to do that now with the SDK than it was beforehand.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to build fancy art either. I'm not trying to do unit assets, and I'm not trying to do unit models or leader models or anything like that. Because I'm doing primarily 2D DDS files and XML and SQL, and that's it so far.
My initial idea for Civilization 6 ports of Civilization 5 mods would be to take the ideas that we had with the Civilization 5 mods, especially with the decision support, and kind of bake the decisions into the core characterization of the civilization. That being said, there is a bit of a difference, which is that with the support for alternative leaders, or the at least the concept of the support for alternative leaders, you really kind of have to sit back and reassess your unique abilities and say, is this a unique ability that makes sense if I build, let's say, a Canada Civ with both Lester B. Pearson and Lord Stanley? Does Canada seem really weird with one of those civilizations?
Hmm. So probably a bit more generic, I think, with the civilization abilities, aren't they, and more specific with the leader ones? And maybe that's the reason why.
Yeah, it's going to just mean a lot more research.
Yeah, I'm surprised that with the change of leaders that they've actually chosen to do a different colour for each leader. I'd have thought that they would have kept the same thing, because I thought the idea was you could only have one leader that was going to be able to play, because you can't really meet two Canadas.
I think that was a mistake, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, because one of the things that we initially said, and we said it on Modcast, was great with when we were expecting Civ 6 to come out. Got alternative leaders, and that'll help us with the shortage of colour types, because that was one of the things that we ran into problems with at the end. People had used that many different combinations that were beginning to find it difficult to find a new suitable colour code for each new Civ that came out.
Yeah, and I think at some point we might have to stage a little bit of a revolution and say, screw it, every France will be French colored, period.
Yeah.
and have to, you know, drag Jan kicking and screaming into seeing it that way.
We'll have to give that a try.
I think one of the things that I'm finding is that when you say a port from 5 to 6, I do plan on making some of the same sieves that I made in 5 back in over in 6, but I actually find myself being more challenged at a conceptual level in 6, because in 5, you know, we know all of the mechanics and systems inside out, left, right, and diagonally.
Yeah.
But with 6, there's so many new different systems, like districts, feel much better, espionage, etc., that I'm actually finding myself more challenged to really define a civilization and its uniques in the Civ 6 environment as compared to Civ 5, where it almost got autopilot for me. And I find this a good thing. It's a new world, and it's kind of reinvigorated my desire to mod. That said, I am hearing about these constraints with Lua, but I have not actually touched the Lua in Civ 6 yet, so I'm actually looking forward to seeing what I can do with it.
Yeah. Well, I know you've built out Gilgamesh for Civ 6, but if one of the other mods that you do had the leader focused on culture-based, for example, with a unique building that gave plus one culture, and a warrior that had culture with kills, do you do the same thing with Civ 6, or do you say, right, it needs to be culture-based, but probably not quite in the same way that I did Civ 5, you know, let's have a rethink.
I would honestly probably try to make it different just for the sake of it being different from its 5 incarnation. I feel like if we're just porting as directly as possible from 5 to 6, it kind of feels like a waste of time, personally. I feel like you should really meld the Civ to fit the game you're making it for.
Yes.
I second that. We've looked at preliminary discussions for how to build the Inuit. And one of the things that we kind of want to do is, instead of having a passive food generation from snow tiles, have a special unit that can capture, that can go out onto snow tiles and find food sources.
Oh, wow.
Bring them back. But then those food sources will run out over time. So kind of like this active hunter-gathering thing that we do.
Wow. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I can actually see that being doable using the sand system that builders use to harvest resources.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the idea, was to kind of have this a two-part system where you have a unit that goes out and copies the resource near your capital or near their city of origin, and then builders harvest them, kind of thing. But I have to admit that I haven't got to the point where it actually loads up in a game yet, so it's all very theoretical at this point.
We were talking before about the modifiers as well, making it a bit easier for those of us that don't do much Lua. I think I'm the only one here that probably doesn't really do much Lua, but that certainly helped with Civ 6. That's been a big difference.
I still don't understand the modifiers yet, really. But for the mod I'm working on, I just decided, you know what? I know I'm going to want this sort of modifier pretty often, so I'm just going to build a generic modifier that I can refer to anytime I want to. And I don't ever have to go through all that again for that modifier.
I feel like I understand modifiers, but I also feel like doing complex things with them may actually be more difficult than coding it Lua side. But I do understand why they would put a system like that rather than make the abilities more Lua-focused, because it does make the game run significantly faster.
And it makes it a little bit more accessible to people like me. But I found modifiers okay, and I also think that should they bring out a couple more expansion packs like we all expect them to do, because they've done that historically, then probably there'll be more different things that you can do with modifiers once they've got the complete version of Civ 6 out there.
What would really help even more than a guide would be a modifier builder tool.
Yeah.
As part of the SDK. Because what I find happening more often is I don't realize I need an entry in requirement subset sets thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I have everything except that one table. It doesn't work. And so I hair pull and fiddle around and search through the game files until I realize, oh, I need requirements subset, set requirements, you know, whatever it is. And that's not intuitive to me yet.
There was one that I've used when I was doing an Anno Domini early version, for example, where he did something if there were bananas in the plot, or if there was rice in the plot, or something like that. And I know for that I definitely would have had to have used Lua, and I definitely would have been struggling. I'd definitely be coming on saying, Lee!
Yeah.
But I kind of can work out how to use it, because there's other examples in there somewhere if I really look. But it is a bit difficult to follow it down, because they change the bits go in. So you've got to really track it down, but you can get there, I think. But then, I guess the next step is making those modifiers do something completely new, not just changing something. So, for example, it's very easy to see if you know how to modify, because the game has it in, a civilization who swaps a diplomacy slot for a wildcard slot, then you can work out how to do the economic slot in the same manner, or vice versa, because, you know, it's fairly straightforward. There's only a couple of things that you need to change. But doing something completely new, then yes, probably be a bit stuck.
I actually took your Anno Domini mod,
yeah,
and looked at how you were doing that for, it was bananas or wheat or something. By now I've built a requires resource and plot for every resource, and I'm starting working through a modifier for stone one production, marble one production, gold one production, etc. for all of them, because I'm finding I'm wanting those. And it's easier for me to just build all those modifiers ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then I can just refer to them as I need to. For the ones that do really crazy stuff like add 5 XP to this sort of unit if you have this sort of building in the city, that's a different issue. Really doesn't seem like it would pay to go ahead and build a lot of those up front.
No.
But those are also the ones that are driving me crazy with, okay, what am I missing?
The thing for me that drives me slightly nuts with the modifier system is the collections and the effects being, as far as I know, only coming out of the source code unless you know that you can define them somehow in Lua. One of the things that I find really limiting to your scope of being able to build mods that are nuanced is the fact that you, at this point, I don't know any way to define a collection. One of the things that I really wanted to do with the post-Inuit, swapping out the leader, not having Ekunik anymore unless we make him an alternative, and instead grabbing a guy by the name of Kivuik, and I'm pronouncing that terribly, I'm sure. He is a legendary hero who has a whole bunch of, you know, stories about him. He's often the defender of women. And so what I wanted to do was giving him an agenda where he makes friends with all the women and hates it if you go to war against women.
Yes.
But so far, I have found no way besides hard-coding a list that I need to upkeep of all the women to define a collection that says, all right, if this leader's gender pronouns are female, put them in the collection.
Well, in that case, I think in 5, you had, with the leader's name tag and the localization database, you had the feminine gender tag. And, you know, that would define whether your character is named lord or lady if they took the position tree.
Yep.
But I don't believe there's any equivalent of that in this game, because those are titles, and therefore there might not actually be any definition in the game database of the leader's gender.
Even if they do have you specify it as part of the name, you can't access that from the rest of the database anyway.
Right. So that's the problem, is I can't hook that into a modifier.
I do overall feel that this system is much better than the 5 system, where it was just kind of set and forget.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the fact you actually have to choose policies and choose when to give up some other effect rather than, okay, now it's just choose a new bonus, choose a new bonus, choose a new bonus, choose a new bonus. It's choose a new bonus, but give up something else, which is, I think, is far more interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely 10 times more interactive.
So I guess we could say, at least on that part of it, Firaxis done it right.
I don't think there's any scientific slots in there yet, is there?
So far, just economic, military, diplomatic, and wildcard.
Yes, and faith being added by JFD.
Okay, one of the things that I would really love if they would actually do with wildcards, and they didn't, is actually create like a cultural type, not a wildcard type, that you put your great people generation in that instead of in the wildcard type, but then use the wildcard type to actually kind of specialize your government. I mean, now you can put anything in a wildcard, but actually have a wildcard that says you can have an additional military slot and an additional economic slot. But apparently you can't chain them that way.
I think now, at the moment, if you say have an extra diplomatic slot, for example, then the mod would crash, because initially there's nothing to go in it. No diplomatic policies until a little bit into the game. Therefore, if you had a mod that brought in a diplomatic policy right from the start, or a diplomatic slot, without putting the policies, you would never get past the screen, because it would want you to put something in there that needs looking at.
I think you're right.
I ran into that when I started putting together my helper mod to help test mods. If you allowed one of the players who gets extra slots to have a policy right at the beginning of the game, but it didn't give them enough policies to fill up all their slots, you couldn't do anything. You were done.
Yeah, one of the first brand new sets I'm going to do, the leader is going to have an economic slot replaced with a diplomatic slot, but that also means I'm going to have to unlock the first two diplomatic slots as soon as they discover a code of laws, because otherwise it's going to break it.
Right. Yeah, what I had to do, if just for expedience purposes, is if you're giving the player any civics at the beginning of the game, you also automatically got code of laws for that player so that they had enough policies they could fill slots.
Yeah, I really don't like how late that is in the game. One of the things that I actually want to do, and this is possibly going to be one of the first things I do if I can, is Crowfoot for the Blackfoot. What I want to actually give him as a leader ability, based on the government structure of Plains Indians in Canada, whenever he's at war, he has a bonus military slot, but when he's not at war, he has a bonus economic slot, and just have that swap back and forth. But I'm not quite sure how one would do that, if there's a good trigger for that. Of course, that would mean that he will dump policies out.
One thing I was thinking of as a possible ability would be if you are the target of a war declaration, you can immediately swap your policies for free at turn, if that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that would be even another way of doing that Crowfoot thing. Because it's based on the Plains Indians have a two-tiered government system where they have an elected peace chief who is the ruler, if you will, during peacetime. But as soon as war breaks out, he is forced to step down, and then the warrior in the society with the most honor becomes the war chief, and then they swap back once they get back to peace. In Crowfoot's case, he was both. So to have like that system of being able to maybe have a drastic change of what policies you have when you're at war, and then when you go to peace.
Maybe you do it rather than with the policies, just start with it, by having two different governments or a dual government system. Which have maybe slightly different slots available. Although I see what you mean. The other thing that I heard was we can't do within the game, which would be good, is have a unit that had the facility to be able to upgrade to two different types of unit rather than just one. Spearman could become cavalry or a pikeman. Or your warrior could become a spearman or a swordsman, just in simpler terms. I guess we're at a very early stage, aren't we? Been spoilt with a really good Civ 5, and now we're seeing the Civ 6 come out, which looks like it'd be even better. Very early days. We haven't even had an expansion come out yet, so we've probably got complete game expectations of a game that's still developing.
Yeah, this might be a good time to say this. One of the things that I've been afraid of in Civ 6 is that there are a number of things that we can do in Civilization 5 that we can do largely because of flukes.
Right.
The greatest example for me, to toot my own horn, was the ability to have the script that knows when a unit attacks another unit and which unit did it, and et cetera, and give effects from one unit to another that shows up in a bunch of Colonialist Legacies mods as well as a bunch of Iger Caesar and Erdnot mods. Only possible because Firaxis created Indonesia with the Chris Swordsman.
Yeah.
I'm blanking off the top of my head what some of the other ones are, but there's another of other things that we use all of the time in Civilization V as standard operating hacks for modders to get stuff done, that in reality, they were just fluke. And, you know, Firaxis is not going to, unfortunately, I think, go out of their way to just build additional things into the game because it might be more convenient for modders that way.
You never know, they might do.
Like in my Neptunia mods, one thing that kind of shocked me when I realized it was actually possible was that you can change the leader of a civilization mid-game, and not only does it not break everything immediately, it actually works quite well. So all of those civilizations actually have a mechanic where you can swap to a different leader in the middle of the game, and their leader scene changes, their icons change, and their trait changes.
Some of the other mechanics that I hope that they do is they've written the city-states as a small Civ at the moment, at a Civ level. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to increase the level of the Civ. I know, for modders at least, I know it means artwork, etc. for them, but maybe for modders, that they're happy to do that. Carthage starts off as a city-state, but has the potential to become a full Civ and interact. And taking it one step further, how about barbarians settling and becoming a city-state that eventually has the opportunity to become a full Civ? That would be quite neat. And, like you were saying there, Vice, with being able to change the leader, it would be great to be able to have revolutions back, where all of a sudden you've been next door to the Iceni, or the Celts, who've been looked after by a very noble but unwarlike person, to all of a sudden have somebody like Vercingetorix take over the situation and be all over you.
It certainly seems more plausible.
Yeah.
Although, as I just said, apparently it's been available all along.
I never knew that.
Well, I don't know about conversion between city-states and major civs. I think in Civilization V, that would be a one-way trip to your desktop.
Yeah, that's part of it was not actually possible. I don't think any of us ever managed to do that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody managed to do that or to really easily add new players in the middle of a game either.
Yeah, it looks to me, looking at the structure in Civ 6, that the city-states are players, but players that are of the level of city-states, not full Civ. So surely there could be something that's put in which says, just change that one factor and make them into a full Civ from a city-state. And you could go the other way around. A Civ's all but battered and bruised and maybe just becomes a city-state and has to find its full Civ capability once again.
You know, that would be a fun thing to do, is if they added like an economic victory type, where what you do is, if you encompass the Civ's economy so badly, they actually become city-states.
Yeah.
And then it's like last civilization standing wins, right?
Yeah.
Or they become vassals if you become so much more influential, dominant over them, and basically you sort of close them off into a hole where they got nowhere to go in the continent and they've got like one city, they become your vassal.
If they turned into a city-state, you would then become, by default, the suzerain. With a fairly high level of influence, I think you would set it up so that you had, say, 10 envoys, and then whoever else was their ally would get 3 or something like that, right? At various different degrees.
That could work.
But then the opposite would be interesting as well. One of the other things, since we're on this topic, that I think would be interesting is if you have enough alternative leaders come out for mods. Now, I think this would be a project where you would have to restrict this very much. But you could do like a leader per era, where every era they change to an eligible leader, with emphasis placed on leaders that actually belong in the proper eras. But if there isn't one available, then you could switch it to someone else.
That would be a great mod. I think if the way 3 leader heads work, though, is anything like it is in 5, there would probably be an issue with trying to load a new 3 leader scene for a leader once the game's already started. See, that's actually why I had to make the 2D leader scene changer for 5, because once the game initialized, the leader scene was kind of set in stone.
Right.
Right. I can see that made sense. You kind of faked it using the mood changer.
Right. It can be used for several things, not just their moods, but it's also used for me to actually do that leader swap thing I mentioned earlier.
Right. So you basically just said, if I have a, say, for example, Rome that starts as Julius Caesar and then later will become Augustus Caesar, you would then basically have all the Augustus Caesar leader heads be moods for Julius Caesar.
Right. Although it depends on if we can actually swap leaders mid-game in 6, like 2005.
Something to look forward to anyway.
One thing I think could has not been implemented in the best way, but I think does still have potential, would be the agendas. I feel they have some potential already looking through the XML and what can be defined in the XML, but I think that right now the agendas are a bit too simplistic, and I think that the modding community should kind of move towards more fluid and maybe piecemeal agendas rather than, you know, you have a lot of X, then you get plus Y. If you don't have a lot of X, you get I and Z, and that's it.
Yes. Agendas is actually one of the things that I was not happy with. But I expected when I cracked out Civilization VI for the first time that generally leaders would be nice people, unless, like, you're going up against Hitler one of the obviously antagonistic leaders in history, but that they would be nice until you started to annoy them by breaking their agendas. And what I found is actually, generally, leaders are grumpy and don't want to have anything to do with you, and then they start a war with you. It would be great if you were playing with Brazil, and Brazil kind of led you into great people, and said, hey, you should check out great people, because it's a great way to get good with Brazil. But actually, it's the opposite. Brazil is like, you shall not pass. You grabbed a great person, now I hate you. For a good example, Liuji has the new, I'm going to butcher her name, we'll just call her Anna, Anna for Congo, mod. Her agenda is that she actually likes people who compete against her for city-states. So even though she's city-state-oriented, she actually enjoys the competition.
Right.
Yeah, which is a directly opposite of, what is it, Germany? The base game's Germany, where, hey, you met a city-state, I hate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you're playing the game properly? We're going to war.
And Pericles, the same. What I found as well with that metric is just doesn't seem to be set up right. I keep bumping into Cleopatra. Hates it if your army isn't big enough. But it says, oh, if you're a weak leader militarily. So she was calling me that when I was like in the modern age with modern soldiers. And she's still got warriors. But she got more warriors than I had. But they were, like, lots, you know, stronger. It seemed like she was counting it, right, well, I've got 20 warriors and 15 chariots, so I must be more powerful than the guy with the nukes.
Yeah, and the aircraft carriers and the modern armor.
Well, maybe she just doesn't have the technological know-how to realize what a tank is.
Maybe. Hey, do you know what? That makes sense.
There are some that are better than others, though. Some of them are actually quite more complicated. But when I look across the Steam Workshop and see the different modded agendas, I think every Civ that I've seen so far, their modded agenda is, unless it's, of course, a copy-paste, it's just that much better.
Yeah, I'm about to mod an agenda after this for the Iceni. But what I want to do with it is make it so that it's less two-dimensional. And I think rather than having particular agendas, it should be more sort of priorities. So there may be about half a dozen things that they care about in varying degrees. So it may well be that somebody's interested in building a large army, having a stable economy, a couple of other things. At the moment, they're looking at a Civ and saying, right, their army isn't as big as mine even, and I'm not taking into account the technology, so I don't like them. They could at least say, well, the army isn't as big as mine. They are okay on a couple of other things that matter to me, so maybe they're not so bad, you know?
Right.
And the thing is, it does seem like all this stuff is already possible by using sets of requirements and just having several different requirement sets for agendas. You can meet some requirements, and you may even have it to where you're getting minuses for one thing and causes for another thing. That makes it a lot less binary, and I think would make it a better system overall.
You know, agendas was one of the things that I was majorly looking forward to, and I do think it's one of the things that people say, would you consider going back to Civilization 5? I say, hell no. Civilization 6 has agendas, among other things. You know, the agendas being one of the things that I think makes the game seem like it should be fresh every time. It makes the idea of downloading mods even more interesting, because it's not just a case of, okay, which leaders are in the game, and cool, I haven't played against this leader before, it's nice to see the latest gen artwork showing up on my screen, is instead to have this idea that says, okay, if I'm on an island with these five guys versus an island with those five guys, this game is totally going to play different.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I'm super hyped about JFD releasing Hitler, because when you run into Hitler, you know, oh boy, the world just got a little bit uglier.
And the thing about agendas that a lot of people may not see, just like if they're players rather than modders, in that case you may only see the positives and negatives of diplomacy. Looking in the leaders file, there are lists of civics that every leader prefers to research first. There's lists of wonders they like building. There's lists of units that they like building, lists of what buildings they prefer to make, what districts they prefer to make, and you can not only tell them which ones they prefer to make, but some that they will almost never make. So you can set all these different things, and you can even give them propensities to declare surprise wars or declare wars with certain cases of allies. So using a lot of those, you could make a leader's personality very unique, and I do like the possibilities of that.
if I can build X, I always build X. Civ 5's AI was, you know, if building X is available and it has a high flavor, I'm just going to build it anyway.
In fact, I've already used this in my Faith Gilgamesh, because his ability is to be able to build every other civilization's unique unit. So he has a favored item list of all those unique units, so he will build almost always unique units instead of regular units.
Okay. That's not overpowered at all.
He's got some downsides. His units can't earn XP, and he cannot do anything with Faith.
Excellent. I'm mostly just teasing you.
The Phyrexis leaders may not have implemented it as well as it could have been, but they have given us a framework, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that it's very likely that at some point someone will make a mod overhauling the vanilla AI. And maybe that is Phyrexis' goal. I remember seeing an article that they had been in an interview with where they had said that one of the things about having the AI be moddable, which it was largely not in Civilization V, was that you can actually have monthly AI packs that you roll out that just change the way the AI prioritizes things. So the super high-level players who just get used to this is the way the game plays every single time and they learn how to game that can have a fresh challenge. Maybe every 6 months. A month is probably way too quickly. But once everybody says, I happen to know that the AI always builds this kind of formation of troops, so if I build this kind of thing where I have siege weapons up on these hills, then I win.
Yeah. Kind of like the, well, we always pick this policy, then that policy, then this policy, then that policy, and then we win.
Right.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
I was asked why I didn't want to do too many civs before going into doing the Anno Domini, and one of my things is that I've been bitten once with Civ 5 in that maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, I'll have had to make my civs compatible with about 20 different mods that have come out. I couldn't believe it. I'm already being asked if it's compatible with True Start Locations.
Right.
And with anything else, you know, and it's like, what, already?
Yeah.
Compatibility, you know, we're just getting out the gate here, you know. And I think people are also asking for things like, why is it that the unique building doesn't show as a model in the game? And why is it that there's no music? And it's just because I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Yeah, they're really having Civ 5 expectations for Civ 6, and the modding community hasn't quite figured all that stuff out yet.
Modders do have issues, and if no one can work it out, then we can't actually do the mods in quite the same way, but people need to be aware that these mods will evolve over time, and once we work out how to do this, that, and the other, then they'll get upgraded, you know, and it's certainly better than nothing.
Yeah, modding is definitely, like, momentum-based. The more things we figure out, and the more we share with each other, the more we suddenly have flexibility to do things. And Civilization VI, we have barely got started.
Well, see, that's why I don't do sales, because then I don't have to answer those questions.
The other thing that's funny that I discovered, because as you mentioned, I brought out the Anno Domini fairly early on in Civ VI's lifetime. I didn't know how to play Civ VI when I brought it out. You know, I got this modding project done, but I hadn't sat down and played the game enough, and I think that that was just something, just connecting back to saying, you know, what was it like without the tools? Well, actually, it was probably a good thing for us all to start getting used to what the game was all about, so that we could understand better how to mod it and what those effects would actually have in the game. Thanks for listening to Modcast today. Joining me, Rob RHX50, was...
Yes.
Nerai the Forgiven.
Thanks for your show, sir.
Thank you very much for your time. Until next time. I think this is Modcast number 69. I think I did check it correctly, but just while we're waiting, I'll just make 100% sure that it is. would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of jokes we could be making if we were 12.
All kinds of jokes could be making if we were any age.
Dan will get the version of my audio that has all of Joseph.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. That's a bonus.
Extra material for the gag reel. Dan, you're going to have to remove this from the record because we don't want the general public knowing that in Civilization V, a rise to power mod was in fact possible and Vi's been hiding it the whole time. Delete.
Record date March 18th, 2017.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.